Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. We've talked before here on HealthLink On Air, both in our news and views segments and with guest interviews, about the growing shortage of child psychiatrists. It's becoming more and more of a problem. Dr. Wanda Fremont from SUNY Upstate's Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences joins us this morning to bring us up to date on progress or lack thereof with this problem. Good morning, Dr. Fremont. Good
morning, Tricia.
Welcome. We're so glad to have you back. And Dr. Lonnie Freshman, a pediatrician on the east side of Syracuse, has joined us this morning, too. Good morning, Dr. Freshman.
Good morning to you.
And welcome to HealthLink On Air. Dr. Fremont, let's talk about this basic problem that we have of a lack of child psychiatrists. Why is that important?
It's important because there are a number of children that have emotional and behavioral difficulties, and if they're not identified early on, can lead to long-term and short-term sequelae. And it's not
into sequelae meaning.
I'm
going to ask you to correct those big words.
Dropping out of school early, teenage pregnancy, difficulty in work, difficulty in relationships, and emotional and behavioral problems in adulthood also.
And what kind of, when you say emotional and behavioral problems, what kinds of problems are we talking about?
We're talking about depression, anxiety, problems with ADHD, and also problems that are more problematic, such as bipolar disorder.
Some of those things we hear about in adults.
Yeah.
Dr. Freshman, in your experience, and I'm going to guess that you've been practicing for long enough to know the difference between today's kids and yesterday's kids. Have these problems increased, or are you just seeing them more, do you think?
Well, I don't think anybody has that completely certain. I think there's a greater recognition, there's a greater willingness to talk about problems, and it's hard to say how much of this is an increase in the actual problems themselves and how much is an increase in diagnosis. And the same certainly for things like ADHD and certainly for things like autism as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually when I hear about it the most, and, you know, this is a world I live in and I'm reading a lot about healthcare kinds of things, what I'm hearing the most is that all of a sudden children are being prescribed antidepressants and drugs a lot more than they used to be. Is that your experience too, Dr. Freshman?
Yes, I don't think there's a lot of question that there's an increased amount of drugs being prescribed, but that does not necessarily, to me, equate that that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a recognition that there are problems for which we now have medications that may be helpful. That doesn't mean that you want to give everybody medication, but that there is another tool that you have available, ideally for us as a primary care pediatrician with the help of somebody at a higher level, which is Dr. Fremont, instance.
And Dr. Fremont, this has affected you in a number of ways. We're going to get to a program that you've started a few years ago in a minute, but you're seeing kids with really bigger problems because they haven't been able to find perhaps the psychiatrist and the help they needed earlier. Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. And we're seeing two things. One, children have not had the chance to get help, but also other children who have gotten help, but maybe not the correct kind. Maybe there wasn't enough time taken to diagnose the problems, and so they were on a cocktail of medications that they shouldn't have been on.
Oh, wow. All right. All of this goes back to where we started, and that is this shortage of psychiatrists and other mental health professionals that can help kids. And I've got to think, Dr. Freshman, in your shoes, you're seeing all these kids, and this has got to be very frustrating to you because you don't have a place to send them.
Well, it's frustrating as well because the pediatricians and I would also say the family practitioners are becoming the de facto psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I was trained for, but things have changed. There's better immunizations. There's less in the way of infectious disease problems. And increasingly, I'm expected to handle problems like this. And Wanda could better speak to what the training of pediatricians is nowadays as opposed to when I was trained, but still it is probably insufficient to handle some of the problems that we are forced to handle.
Well, I have to think, you know, especially the way insurances work these days, we're told that we have a gatekeeper, and that's our primary care physician. A parent is bringing their child to you as the pediatrician because they don't just phone a psychiatrist and say, my kid needs help. They come to you to figure out where their child is supposed to go next.
I'm completely in favor of the gatekeeper theory.
There you go.
I think it exactly as it should be, that there are definitely times when people are winding up at subspecialists who may not need to be, and that, yes, it has to come to the primary care or should come to the primary care person first who acts as the patient's advocate and also the patient's translator as to where do you go, how do you navigate the bureaucracy of medicine, the bureaucracy of education, and all this makes total sense to me. It's just very difficult to do in terms of time and in terms of expertise.
Exactly. Well, and not only that, your whole practice and practice models for any primary care physicians is not to be talking to the family, say the parent or the child themselves, and trying to solve the problems when it's a mental health problem. You're just not set up to do that.
Well, to a certain degree. I mean, it depends upon what you're dealing with.
Right. When I say that, what I mean is that the way a practice is run is you have X number of patients coming in an hour. And when that patient comes in the door, you don't know that that patient needs an hour of your time. You think you've only got 10 or 15 minutes to spend with them. You can't solve their problems in 10 or 15 minutes.
No, you certainly can't, but you're also not expected to. If, let's say, that is not part of why they came in, mm-hmm. or it was as they're leaving the door and say, oh, by the way, you can talk about coming back another time, ideally at the end of the day when there are less pressures of other people coming afterward. And to be perfectly honest, being at my age, my kids are grown, there's no worry about which one of us is going to pick the kid up from school or be home when
there
they're there.
There you go.
And
there
it makes things different. But mm-hmm. certainly for younger physicians, people who have children, it's a very difficult problem.
It is a difficult problem. So now let's go back to the fact that if there aren't enough psychiatrists and psychologists and other mental health professionals for kids, what happens? They're going to come to you, and if you're the gatekeeper, if you don't have anybody to send them to, that becomes problematic. And that goes to your program, Dr. Fremont. Tell us about the program, and you've actually been here to talk about it before. Let's refresh everybody's memory.
Yeah, the program we've been running now for 3 years, and it's an effort to reach out to the community and help teachers, primary care physicians, parents, other health professionals to learn and understand children's problems more so that they can help out. It has several components. We are working in the schools, we're working with parents, and then we're doing a number of different things with the primary care doctors. One is a phone consultation service where Dr. Freshman could give me a call and say, you know, Wanda, I've got this question for you about a patient, and I would advise him over the phone. That's 5 days a week from 8 to 5, and we get back within the same day.
Wow.
We also offer evening trainings, mm-hmm. which are free, and we also offer monthly seminars. So we're trying to reach out and help pediatricians, family practitioners to identify these problems and to learn more about child psychiatry.
Now, when we asked you to come on the show this morning, your program was still running and you still had funding from the state to operate it. What we've learned since then and today is the fact that the funding is no longer available. Is your program going to go away?
That's the concern. As of March 31st of this year, the funding was completely cut off from the state because of the economy, and we have major concerns on whether we'll be able to continue this.
And, you know, it doesn't even, if I remember the number correctly, it's $200,000 you were getting from the state. So it's not like, you know, we keep hearing billions and everything else. This is like almost nothing, and yet the huge ripple effect of positive things that come out of it. Dr. Freshman, this is going to be very frustrating to someone like you who isn't going to have these resources anymore.
I have loved this program. I think the evening sessions have been very helpful. Aside from the actual didactic material, there's also seeing other people who are in the same position as you, talking with them. The ability to get somebody to speak to you the same day has been a wonderful advance. And this has been a terrific program, recognizing there are not enough psychiatrists around to see everybody, but to, in essence, extend their abilities to you has been a terrific thing.
Well, I've got to think it would be a huge resource. And as a parent, if my child is having a problem and I go to my doctor or my pediatrician and the pediatrician says, you know, this is an issue that I need to do a little research on, I'll get back to you later today, I feel so well served.
I must comment also that this allows us to have a resource for people who are underinsured or people who are Medicaid, who have essentially no resources or minimal resources otherwise, and this has been a tremendous benefit in that regard.
Absolutely, and we do know, and we've talked before about the very, very low reimbursements that come particularly from Medicaid, which is just, it's outrageous because the very people who need the help the most sometimes are the people who are Medicaid patients. Dr. Fremont, what's our call to action here? You've lost your funding. What can we do about it? Listeners are going to hear what a positive outcome this has had. Is there anything we can do?
Certainly, people can contact their legislatures. And if they have any ideas or any comments, they could certainly give me, contact me.
Okay.
I believe my information is on the
Yes,
link.
We will put contact information for you on our Health Link On Air website. We'll make sure that your email address and your phone number are both there. They can reach to you maybe with suggestions or possibilities.
Yes.
And we're not asking for donations. That's not the
no.
point. This is just a way of looking at a wonderful program and figuring out how to make sure it can continue. I mean, I believe you all are doing it as volunteers right now, aren't you?
We are, yes.
You are, and that's appreciated. But that shouldn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. This should be a way that we help our children and our professionals in the community. Dr. Freshman, any last words of wisdom from your point of view?
Only that I recognize that the way the budget is, as a result of the way the economy is, that a lot of people are suffering,
mm-hmm.
and that nobody seems to want to give, and that we appreciate that, but this is important, and to consider it when you are thinking. And I would also say consider better ways for our country to be insured than is presently the case.
Ah, there you go. And that seems to be a theme in a lot of our conversations, and it's very well taken. Well, Dr. Wanda Fremont and Dr. Lonnie Freshman, thank you so much for coming by this morning. It's been an important conversation.
Thank you.
Okay.
Listeners, we are going to take a break. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.